All right, here we are for the culture segment of our show, and we are very pleased because, as I said on the front end of the show, we are doing this live in Colorado Springs at the Pursuit 2014 conference, and we have fabulous guests with us for our culture segment. I mentioned that they come from all over, but this time they're just homegrown. They're right here from Colorado Springs. President Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, and his wife, Jean. Welcome to you both.
She's really the president. Well,
thank you for having us.
Very good to have both of you here. And I know, Jean, you're just like a mad extrovert, aren't you? So you were just, this was like number one on your things to do. Yeah.
She's kidding.
Yeah, Jean had to get this as other duties as assigned, I think, in her job description. Right. So
she did her degree in biochemistry. But
she is...
Oh, there you go.
Very, very gracious to
right
be
down here.
Here.
All right. You guys can talk that later.
That's welcome to you
stuff.
Both.
Sorry,
and you know, Jim's book.
Are we in trouble here?
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Jim's book, Refocus, is available here in our bookstore. You've written, I mean, you're just writing books left and right.
Jean writes them, actually.
Okay. Okay. So you know what that's about. Yeah, so he's got a lot going on in addition to his duties here, and as well as author and speaker and just running the show.
Dad.
So. And dad. So we're actually pulling you in, though, to talk a little bit about marriage, because I didn't mention as part of your bios that you two are married.
We
so
are.
That's good.
We are married.
I thought it would fit.
It took us a little while, though.
I thought
it
would fit that
in. There's actually a story in there.
I know. Well, and we're going to get to that story because it's very fascinating. So I want to actually start out by asking you two. I mean, we're going to talk through that story a little bit. And the first thing I want to do is back all the way up to before you were dating anyone, quite frankly, because I don't know who or what or if you
dated. I had my first date at 5, so that's
going
to be...
Right, it's going way back.
True.
I know, yeah. You may want to read Jim's first book, and that might tell you why that happened. Okay, anyway, but the first question I want to ask is, did you guys always assume that you would get married? When you were a kid or a teenager, did you just assume this was going to be part of your story, and what did you envision it would look like? Did you think this was going to be an easy road, or was it something you were afraid of, or what?
I think like most girls, I assumed that I would get married, but probably as I got a little older, I wasn't certain that that is what God would have for me. I know that God does have singleness in mind for some people, so I wasn't sure about that. And yes, I really was quite afraid of getting married, really.
Oh, yeah.
But we could talk about more.
Let me say it this way. When I was dating Jean, her siblings, of which her brother's in the back, so he can verify this, a couple of her sisters came to me and said, you know, she's never gone out with anybody for more than 6 months, so don't get comfortable. So that was a little intimidating. But for me, no, I took out my kindergarten teacher, and I thought I was going to marry her. So, but I think as a young guy, who's going to get married?
Yeah.
It wasn't about marriage. It was about playing football.
Okay.
So.
Now, when you say young, do you mean like 16 or do you mean like 32? Okay.
It wasn't.
Okay. That's good to know. Good to know. Sometimes we have to clarify.
Oh, you need to.
I'm just checking.
That was before the medicine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I want you guys to start telling a little bit about your story. How did you two meet? And I want to know the backstory on how you started dating.
How did we meet? Okay. Well, go ahead.
No, I love for Jim to tell the story because I like to interject.
Yeah.
Which is a really...
Are you saying there might be some inaccuracies
really
that you have to...
Sure.
And
I feel very comfortable jumping in. And
yeah, so it was actually really awesome for me because that was an area of my life. I did play football, and I had no boundaries. I was living with my brother in high school, so I'd go out to play football Friday night, and I'd say to him, what time do you want me home tonight? And he'd say, yeah, try to be home by 2-3 in the morning. And I'd go, oh, okay, I'll try to stay out that late. So that was the environment I was in high school. So that area of my life was something that God had to get some discipline in me. And so for 2 years, I actually didn't date. I chose to just not date anybody because it was a dangerous area for me. And so I was moving ahead thinking, okay, the Lord's going to let me go through life single. And I was very eager. I was like, Lord, I'll do it. If I can, I'll do it for you. And it's like I let it go, the desire at that point to be married, and then I studied in Japan, and the guy, my best friend, I was the best man at his wedding. He and his wife, who was Gene's good friend, they said these two would make a great couple, and so we met at their wedding. Now, the spiritual side of this, am I getting it right so far?
Yes,
okay,
that's pretty good.
So the spiritual side of this, what was really interesting, I wasn't dating, I was 24, I played football, and I was at this church, and this pastor came up to me and he said, I have a word from the Lord for you. Anybody ever gone through that? And I'm going,
that's like pretty much all of us, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, all of us have been given words.
Yeah,
from
so,
people.
You know, so. Yeah, and he came up to me and he said, hey, I think the Lord's really impressed me to tell you this, that he's got your mate picked out for you, and she's going to have a heart for the things of God. And I'm like, do we stone false prophets today? I mean, seriously, I was thinking that. That's a horrible admission, given the position I'm in now. I thought the guy was totally cuckoo. But you know what is amazing? And he gave me a couple of other tidbits that didn't relate to that. But he just said, your wife is going to have a heart for the things of God. And that was a Wednesday night. I have not dated for 2 years. I went to the wedding that following Saturday, and that's where Jean was. And when she left the wedding, I turned to a friend of mine, Vic Schrenzel, who studied with me in Japan, and I just said to him, I think that's the woman I'm going to marry. Now, Jean could tell this part of the story, because she wasn't dating anybody.
Which, let me just interject, like, okay, no one wants to hear that. That story, Jim, we're all like, okay, you know, who receives the word, you know, whatever.
Oh, I know, it's bizarre.
I know,
I mean,
okay.
It could have been the green bananas, but it worked for me.
I know, it did. It worked for Jim. I totally believe that this is legit, and so that's good. And the only thing that makes it redeemable, because I didn't want this to be an easy story for you. I'm so vindictive.
Wow.
I know, I'm so vindictive. Is that, you know, you still had to continue, you had to pursue, you had to
big
continue.
Time.
Yeah.
She didn't get the same word.
Okay, so what was your word, Gene?
Wrong.
Well, and I too was not dating, but it was for a little bit different reason. I hadn't dated for about a year and a half. I was tired of breaking up with guys, and I was tired of going out with guys that I wasn't going to marry. And I used to joke that, oh my goodness, find someone that you want to spend your lifetime with. I can't find anyone I want to spend more than 8 hours with. So, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to date again unless it's going to be my future husband. And if I'm not supposed to be married, help me not to date. So I wasn't dating. We meet at this wedding, and unbeknownst to me until that night, the groom and my girlfriend, who was getting the bride, the groom was so consumed with getting
at his wedding.
Jim and me together at his wedding.
It was like freaky.
And I was there with my best guy friend
right.
at the wedding. It really was.
Dave Franco, I know his name.
Really was my best guy friend. And the groom was trying to get us to dance, and because we were both in the wedding party, and we did dance, one dance together, and I'll tell you, there was nothing. There was nothing. Nothing.
That's not how I remember it.
Okay. So it's obviously just shocking that you guys even got married, obviously, if this is the way it started off. I want to ask you, Jean, interrupt.
She's got to keep joking.
Okay,
being a professional.
I know, I just want to, because I have to interrupt you. Was there anything in meeting Jim and even getting to know him about his story in growing up that gave you pause to say, is this going to be a guy I want to spend more than 8 hours with? And quite frankly, do I even want to hitch my wagon to that, you know, so, I mean, not that, poor guy.
She's pretty brave.
Not that, but that story.
No, I get
and
it.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying.
I was out a lot at late night hours. I get it.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, no, really no. And I think that almost seems irrational that it should have given me pause, but it didn't. Once.
You did too. You were talking to Dave Franco about it. Do you remember that?
I don't.
That's the truth. You and Dave talked about
really?
It.
Really? Yeah. I don't remember that.
Okay, I'm not qualified as a marriage counselor.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not qualified, so we're going to, you know, yeah.
I don't remember that.
I think you were a little concerned about some things, about my baggage.
Okay, but I think Lisa's talking about something different. I think you're talking about his upbringing. Yeah. Aren't you talking more?
Just like what he was going to take into marriage from what he grew up with.
Yeah.
Right. And I did not have concerns about that.
That's true.
You were a little more worldly than I was, and I had some concerns about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Okay.
Had some concerns about that. But no, once Jim and I really got to know each other, I didn't. I really fell head over heels in love with him, and he was such an awesome guy, and no, I didn't have any pause.
Okay. So what was this? We have to dispel a little myth here that I've heard through several sources that you guys got married, but there was a glitch in the process, and something happened that maybe is a little questionable given the focus on the family connections now.
This is really embarrassing.
Yeah.
But the number one rule of thumb is if you get married, when you get married, don't ask your brother to marry you. So my older brother, anybody have older brothers in here? They think they know far more than they actually know. Have you ever noticed that?
Except
about an
older brother. Except
my older
brother.
Except AJ, who's here. Gene's older brother. He knows a lot. But my older brother didn't know so much, but he was a pastor, and he said, oh, I want to do the wedding. And I, great, that's great. And so we separately got our blood work done. You got to get blood work done. We were in California, and Gene was going to UC Davis. I'll let her tell the UC Davis portion of this.
Because this just makes me look like an idiot. Really,
no, lacking
in common sense. I didn't know how you got a marriage license. The nurse taking my blood had a wedding ring on, so I said to her, how do I get the certificate? And she said, oh, I'll have it in the envelope for you. And I thought, universities are amazing. You can just, they're one-stop shopping places. You can get everything done. So I thought that she'd place the marriage certificate into that little envelope.
So, you know, like 2 months before our marriage, I said to Jean, where's the marriage certificate? She said, it's in the glove box of the car. I said, oh, I'll leave it there until we get married. That's a convenient place because we were going to drive that car to our wedding. So my brother, who was taking a very lackadaisical approach to this, never asked us about it. He assumed we knew what we were doing, because we had been married 8 times before.
Right, yeah.
And that's a joke. And so anyway, we get married, and my brother during the reception says, we'll get the license and we'll have you guys sign it. I said, oh great, it's in the glove box. It's been there for 2 months, isn't that, we're so smart. So I go out there and I open the envelope and it's my blood certificate and her blood certificate.
Which I don't even think they make you do that anymore.
I don't know.
So we go into the
reception. My brother looks at it and goes, oh, you know what? That's okay. Don't panic. You just need 3 signed affidavits and then your marriage is recognized by the state of California. So we were then going on a 9-month road tour with a Christian group around the country. We went to 19 states in a customized van. Talk about a great honeymoon. It's okay. You can laugh about that. And so we get a mail drop. I had sent a letter to the county of Santa Ana saying, you know, this is what happened. Here's 3 signed affidavits, and we'd like to get our marriage certificate now. And 4 months later, we're driving in the van. We had mail pickups along the way. We were probably somewhere in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And Jean's reading the mail, and she gets this letter. I'm driving down the road. And all of a sudden, she starts sobbing. I'm married in the eyes of God. I'm married in the eyes of God. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And so she said, it's a letter from the county. They're telling us to get separate attorneys, and our marriage is not recognized by the state of California. So we have actually 2 wedding dates.
So we were traveling for a Christian organization, unmarried.
Living in a customized van.
Right.
Down by the river.
Yeah, the funny part of this is when I became president of Focus, I shared that story on the stage here. And I got back to the office upstairs, and Dr. Dobson went, you should have told me that before.
Very true.
But that's
very
it. True. I mean, that was it. And that was August 24th was our actual wedding day before the eyes of God.
The ceremony.
And then the state recognized it March 23rd.
Okay.
The following year. Yeah.
So...
Don't tell
so
your mom
in light, in light of what you learned after that, talk to us. I mean, not counting that period where basically you were just fornicating. talk to us about what you would give as your best marriage advice to people who are not there yet, who are anticipating marriage. What's your best marriage advice? What should they keep in mind right now?
Go ahead.
Well, I have so much advice to give, but I would say the most important thing is to not expect your spouse to fulfill all your needs and to bring you complete happiness and to fully, to fully complete you. You know, that's God's job. And we really tend to put too much of that on our spouse. And I would also say, I think something I've learned that has been really important, and this is probably more important for women, do not expect your spouse to be a mind reader. You've got to tell them what you are thinking, and you really, you know, have to lay out your expectations and not just think, if they loved me, they would, you know, X, Y, Z.
Good thoughts.
That's good advice.
That's good advice.
Yeah, I think for me, probably it was the second year we were married, and I wake up, I'm a morning person, so I'm like chattering already like at 6 a.m., and Jean was a night owl, and so I realized that she'd never spoke before 10 o'clock. She really didn't talk. I thought she was mad at me. I mean, I'd be brushing my teeth, hey, did you have a good night? Can I tell you my dream? It was awesome, this dream I had. This guy told me I was going to meet my wife, and that she was going to have a heart for the things of God. She's going, don't talk to me so early in the morning. It wasn't that bad. But one night, so I'm brushing my teeth. I didn't, you know, I don't know why it's always around brushing my teeth. But she was already in bed, and I was brushing my teeth, and I came out of the bathroom to get into bed, and she's sobbing.
I didn't really sob that much.
Yeah, she was not a sobber. And she's crying, and I'm thinking, what have I done? I won't brush my teeth that much if you don't want me to. But I think it was a whole thing of not feeling worthy. You got to fill in those, because you didn't feel like you were up to the task of being a good wife,
right?
And you were failing, which I was not, I didn't feel.
No, you weren't projecting that. You know, that's internal, of just feeling like I wasn't measuring up as a wife.
Right, and so one of the things that I felt was a bedrock for our relationship, I remember that night I was crying because I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we've been married 2 years and I'm losing my wife. I lost my mother, I lost my father, now I'm losing my wife. My life is messed up. And I remember just saying to Jean that night, I said, listen, my life has been so bad, we are not going to get a divorce. I am never going to give you a divorce. And I said, we can either do this one of two ways. We're either going to do it happily, or we're going to do it without happiness. But you're never going to divorce me. And it was like a bedrock, I think, for you. It gave you a confidence that you didn't have to perform. You didn't have to earn my love. And I think that so much of the culture today is in that space. It's all about me. Marriage is not all about you. And here's the other piece of advice. I think God has done this for a very specific reason. He brings two people together. It says you become one flesh. The humor of it is he typically brings two opposite people together. And then what you're supposed to learn in that environment is selflessness, to become more like him. Give of yourself. You want to be a leader? Serve others. Start with your spouse. It's the hardest thing in the world to do, because you don't always feel like serving her or her. Me. But I think it's the lesson God wanted to teach us, is to give up ourselves for our spouse.
Awesome. Jim and Jean, thank you so much for being part of this conversation, for joining us for our culture segment. I did notice, though, Jean, your ring. This is like, I think you stole that from Kate Middleton.
Oh, like yeah. Her. No, she stole like the idea
like,
from
that
me.
That looks like Princess Kate's ring. She stole the idea from her.
I don't
her.
Think we have okay. the time for all my stories about rings, but this wasn't my original one. But let's just leave it there.
She flushed it down the toilet accidentally, the original wedding okay. ring. That's a whole other story.
That is apparently another one. Culture segment that yeah. we will have them back for in the future. Thank you two so much for
all
being
right,
part of this.
Everybody.
Thank you for
See
having
you
us.